appreciate that tonight, good singing. Appreciate you being here, and I'm glad tonight that we're not saved on feelings, or that we live on sight, or live by sight. We'd be almost miserable, amen? We would be confusing. We could think about this morning and all that came, and tonight all that hasn't came, and you'd say, "Well, I'm just discouraged, you know. I'm just defeated. I'm just this. I'm just that." And so tonight, but we don't base ourselves or our happiness or our joy based upon who comes and who don't come. We base it upon the Lord Jesus tonight. Amen. And so tonight it's about Him and Him alone. And we're two or three gathered in My name. He gives us a promise. He said, "I'll be in the midst of there. And if you call out on Me, I will be there." And so tonight we're asking the Lord to meet with us. And if the Lord meets with us tonight, we'll have a good time. And if not, we'll have a bad time. And so tonight we're looking for Him. Amen. And so here in Luke chapter 8, if you would turn there with us, Luke chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 22. So don't be discouraged, church. Be encouraged. And what God is doing, and even in the midst of this day at this time. In Acts chapter 8. I could tell you, so far, it just seems like I've been preaching out of Acts for the last several weeks now. I don't know if I'll get out of Acts before Jesus comes. Luke, out of Luke. I was thinking about Luke writing Acts, but anyway, it is in Luke, and so the Lord's just filling me up, and so I'm excited about that. But tonight I want to preach on where is your faith? Where is your faith? And we see this in this story here that Jesus gives. This isn't a parable. This isn't something He makes up. This is something He actually went through and something that His disciples went through with Him. And Brother George has mentioned this during the prayer meeting, actually, concerning this storm. And so that we can see what the Lord has for us tonight. Where is your faith? Here, let's read in verse 22. "Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into the ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, 'Let us go over unto the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they're filled with water and were in jeopardy. They came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said unto them," here's where we get our title, "'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey Him.'" Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, I'm honored to be able to speak Your name. God, I'm very satisfied and content with Jesus tonight. And Lord, I'm happy tonight, Lord, because You've saved my soul. God, that You have given us new life. God, You have given us reason and purpose of living. And so tonight, Lord, we are just well grateful for what You've done in our hearts and lives. And so tonight, God, we're asking You to help us out of this story. God, out of this experience that You've had with Your disciples. God, that we may gain out of it that You may have given them. So that, God, we become more faithful. God, we become, dear God, more steady. And Lord, that we can be steadfast. So God, we're praying tonight, Lord, that through Your word, You'll help us and You'll guide us. And God, I pray for those who are not here tonight, Lord. I feel sorry for them. My heart goes out to them, Lord. I have pity toward them tonight, dear God, who could have come and didn't come. And yet tonight, Lord, we pray that You have mercy. God, I ask You, God, now to lead and guide the service that You may get glory in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice there in verse 25 when Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Where is your faith?" And I might say that tonight probably about 20 times because I want us to get the picture, to get the point that Jesus is making to His disciples. And if you're saved tonight, you're a disciple as well. He said, "Where is your faith?" I want you to notice, though, that He didn't say something like this, "Where is those who have little faith?" He said, not little faith. He said, "Where is your faith?" So He wasn't questioning whether they had great faith or little faith or some faith. He just said, where is it at? He also didn't say, ye of weak faith. And so he didn't say, you know, you have strong faith, you have weak faith, you have okay faith. He didn't even mention that. He said, where is thy faith? And he didn't say that you have no faith. And so he didn't say to them anything about how strong their faith was, how weak it was, how little it was, how big it was, how there was none and there was a lot. But he did say this. He said, where is your faith? Now that's different tonight than to say, ye of little faith, ye of weak faith, or ye of no faith. So he wasn't saying to the disciples, you have a weak faith here. He's not saying to him that you have little faith. He's not saying to them that you don't have any faith. But he is asking them a question. And the question is where is your faith? It's sort of like Jesus is putting the responsibility upon the disciples about their faith. You know, many a times we want to tell somebody else why that we didn't do something faithful. Many a times we want to say the circumstance created in me to have a faith that wasn't displayed. Or we say, God, would you build my faith or help my faith? Or God, if I'd have better faith or more faith, I would have done that better. I'd have done that different. The Lord doesn't give any room for that. He just says, where is your faith? It's like Jesus goes through this storm. He goes through this storm with his disciples. And it's like him saying, what just happened? Where's your faith? It's something like that. It's like he goes through the storm with them and they go with him and he gets at the end of it. And at the end of it, there in verse 25, he says, really? Really? I mean, where's your faith? I mean, listen, really? I mean, we've been through this storm together. We have been together and all that I see from you is where is your faith? It's sort of like this tonight, and another thought is Jesus is saying to his disciples, what's going on? What's really going on? I mean, we're in the boat, we're in the ship, we're on the sea, we're cruising across to the other side. And then the storm comes in verse 25, he lifts up and he says, where is your faith? Like, what's going on? I mean, what's wrong with my people? What's wrong with my disciples? I mean, what is happening in their lives? It's almost like, you know, please give me an account of your faith. Where is your faith? You know, that brought conviction upon me. As I began to think about the message, as I began to read that verse 25, and Jesus is asking the disciples, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? And boy, the Lord began to convict me and say, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I mean, you say you know me since 1988. You say that you love me. You say that you're going to follow me. You say that you're going to trust me. You say that you're going to lean on me. You say that I'm with you. And you say that you're going to be with me. Where's your faith, Larry? And I could say to you and I tonight, that many occasions and many situations, and some of y'all may have had those occasions this week. And if you look back, you'd probably say, where's my faith? It's like the Lord saying, really? What's really going on? And so tonight, that's the kind of the message that I want to bring to you tonight. God, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want you to know tonight that Jesus is asking that question to you, and I want you to keep on posing that question in your mind and heart. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? As we go through this study, this message tonight. But I want you to notice, number one, where is your faith when God plans a trip? Where is your faith when God plans a trip? On this occasion, on this boat ride, it was a boat ride that Jesus has planned. If you read it out tonight, you'll find that it wasn't the disciples coming to Jesus in verse 22 and said, hey, Jesus, let's go to the other side. No, it was God planning the trip. And the disciples didn't come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, we just can't wait to get to the other side. Is there any way possible that you can get in the boat with us and we can just go on to the other side because we want you to go with us, but we really want to get over there." None of that was taking place. It was Jesus that came to the disciples, and he said in verse 22, he said, "Let us go over unto the other side." It was God that planned a trip. Now, where is your faith when God plans a trip? Now, let me say it like this. Verse 22, we notice that he determined the day of the trip. He said, "Now it came to pass on a certain day." They didn't know what day that was, but Jesus did. So Jesus, he said that I am going to determine a day, and on that day, we're going to go to the other side. Nobody needs to know the day, but Jesus did. It doesn't really matter what day it was. It was just a day that Jesus said, "We're going on a trip, disciples, and we're going to the other side. Get in." And so we find tonight, he determines the day. Number two, he decides the ship. The Bible says that he went into a ship. And so he made a decision. There was, I'm sure, many ships out there. I'm sure there was multiple ships. There was maybe a few ships. Maybe there was two ships. I don't know how many ships are out there. But he chose a ship. And he asked the disciples, "Hey, listen, I'm going to make a trip, a day trip, and I want you to come with me. You're going to have to get in this ship, though." I mean, if there was a multiple ships out there, and he said, I want you to take a trip with me on the other side. I'm getting in this ship, and you get in that ship. You're not going to make the trip." So he decides the ship, right? So I'll tell you, it's his planning the trip. He said he determines the day, he decides the ship, and then he declares the destination. He says in verse 22, "Let's go over unto the other side of the lake." So they're not going to go to the left, they're not going to the right, they're not going to go out in the middle and just camp out there for a little while. No, they're going to go to the other side. See, that's what his declaration declared. We're going to the other side. And what are we going on the other side with that ship? Oh, okay, and what are we going to do? We're going to do it on a certain day. And so we find that God planned a trip. And then fourthly, I notice that he departs with them. Verse 22 says, "And they launched forth." So not only did he plan the trip, not only did he decide what day it was, did he determine the ship to be in, he has declared where they're going, but he has departed off the shore and he's launched out and it's on the move. And so the plan is in action. The trip is in action. Well, it's like this. It's like the Christian life. The Christian life tonight, Jesus leads. Amen? If you know Jesus tonight, you're going to say that he's one who leads your life. He's the one that will lead you, that you want to be led by him, that you want to be submissive to his leadership. You want to yield to his leadership. You want him to be the one to direct you and to take you and to move you. Not only that, but there's the Holy Spirit of God tonight that guides you. The Bible says that he will guide us into all truth. And we find as a Christian in our lives that Jesus will lead us. The Holy Ghost of God will guide us. He'll guide us into the right place. He'll guide us to the right people. He'll guide us into the right thing. He never leads us to sin. He never leads us to temptation. He never leads us to places where it begins to cause us at all to come against God or to be wrong with God. And so we find that the Holy Spirit guides us. Jesus leads us. But we also notice the Word of God that directs us. The Word of God that directs us. The Word of God gives direction. The Word of God's like a light in the midst of darkness. It gives us light to that path. It's like you and I tonight don't know how to do or what to do, but it is a book. It is a word tonight that brings to us in a very way of direction in our lives. The Word of God. And so we have three tonight that is on our sides in this trip. But it is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Now, where he leads, I will follow. That's the say of every Christian. That's the heart of every Christian. That's the mind of every Christian. What he says, I will believe. tonight. That's the very will of every Christian. What He commands, I will obey. Now, would you say tonight, that would be me? That would be my life? That would be my heart tonight? That where Jesus leads, I will follow. And what He says, I will believe. And where He commands, I will obey. Every Christian in this room tonight would say, yes, that's my heart. Yes, that's my desire. You know, tonight, with that being said, God has planned a life out of every one of us. Do you know that? You might have heard this before, but somebody said that God has a plan for your life. You heard that statement before? That's the trip. This is the trip tonight that God has planned. God has planned a trip for you. God has a plan for your life. God has planned a journey in you. Right now, you're in that journey. Yesterday, you were in that journey, and tomorrow, you'll be in that journey. God has planned a trip, and life in which we're living tonight as Christians is that trip. God has planned a journey. We're in the journey. God has planned a path that you and I will walk. You and I will go through. You and I will face. You and I will deal with. God has planned a trip. Amen? And so in that mindset, I want you to think about the trip or the journey or the plan that God has made of your life. Every one of us tonight has a different plan that God has planned with us. Nobody will go through the same path, will not go through the same journey, will not have the same trip, but every one of us tonight, God has planned a trip with us. That's what life is all about tonight, is a planned trip. As He did with the disciples on that day, He has done it with us. He tells them or tells us what day that this trip began. October the 30th, 1988 was the day that God planned the trip for me. It's the day that my journey began. It was the day that my path started. It was the day that my life has now been planned out for all of eternity. So God determined the day. God not only tells of the day, but God tells of who is going. He says to the disciples, you're going. Not the world, not the unbelievers. I'm not planning a path for them. I'm not planning the path for the world. I'm not planning the path for those who are disobedient, for those who are going astray. I'm planning a path for the disciples. Who's going? God plans a path for those that are saved, those that know Him, those that are following Him, those that are in Jesus and Jesus in them tonight. We find, thirdly, they tells them where they're going. Jesus tells us where we're going. We're going to heaven. He tells us that we're going where He goes, and where I go, He goes, and where He goes, I go. And we can just mark it down. We get up in the morning. If heaven is our home by the end of tomorrow, then that's where the trip ended. Amen? But if God continues on with the journey, God continues on with the life that is planned, I can just know this, that wherever I go tomorrow, He's already been there, He's already planned it out, He's already got it all situated, and I'm there because that's where He allowed me to be. I'm there because that's where He led me. I'm there because that's where the Holy Ghost has guided me, and that's where the Word of God has brought me. And so tonight, He tells them how they're going to get there. He says, on a ship. And so tonight, every one of us, God has a plan for our lives. Now, in that plan, God gives us a few things as He gave them, just in the outline. But coming from A and getting to B could be some time. It could be some struggle. We know that Jesus said to them that we're going to come from this shore on this day in this ship, and we're going to go to the other side. And they launched out. That's what He said. Was there any doubt that they were going to get to the other side? Well, I don't know about you and I, but how come in our lives we get all these promises, we have all this truth, we have the Word of God, we got the Spirit of God, we got Jesus,
And from we go, he said, we got to start our lives, we got our journey, we got our path, however you want to say it tonight. Then from the starting of our salvation to the day that we die and go to heaven, there's a lot of things in between that goes on, right? That's what we want to talk about tonight. So I want to notice that now, what do they know about Jesus up to now? So Jesus is telling us that I have a plan for your life, that I have planned a trip for you, that the life that you're living now is a trip, and I planned it, and every day is a plan from me. So as Jesus is telling the disciples, what do they know about Jesus at this point? I mean, I would say tonight that you'd have to really just sort of say, okay, Jesus, he said to them, we're going to the other side. Now, you and I tonight kind of look at the scripture and say, you know what? Jesus said they're going to the other side. You know what that meant? They're going to the other side. And so there's nothing at all that's going to stop them getting to the other side. And tonight we can say that, and we can be confident with that, and we can act as if we really got it together tonight, saying, you know what, if Jesus says it, it's going to happen. You know, if Jesus says that he's got control of my life, well then listen, what in my life am I be afraid of? I mean, if Jesus is the direction of my life, and the Holy Ghost of God is guiding my life, and the Word of God is directing my life, then why in the world do I get stressed? Why get worried? Why do I get upset? Why do I get mad? And why do I kind of fly off the handle? And why do I get off track? Well, maybe because we really don't know or understand who's telling us tonight, let's go to the other side. Now, this is what they knew about Jesus at the time. Let's kind of go back a little bit. Chapter 4, and look in verse 33. Now, Jesus said to them, we're going to the other side. And so they just got in the boat and went on to the other side. But what's important to us tonight is who's saying that? Who is saying that? Let's go to the other side. And so we find here in chapter 4, verse 33, this same Jesus is the same Jesus. There in verse 33 it says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of the unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, he's saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, who art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, and the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For that what authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, they came out of him. So the same Jesus who said to the unclean spirit, come out of the man, is the same Jesus who said, we're going to the other side. He cast out the devil. That's pretty powerful. I say, let's look at him now. Look at chapter 4, verse 39. This same Jesus of Luke 4 in verse 39 said this. He stood over her. We're talking about Simon Peter's mother was taken with a fever. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. I mean, this is what they know of Jesus. They knew Jesus just said something to the fever. I'm talking about he's talking the fever. Who talks the fever? I mean, who does that? I mean, who has a fever? And you go and say somebody whose name was Betsy. Betsy had a fever. And you go to Betsy and say, fever. You would think you'd say, Betsy. He says, fever, I rebuke thee, come out from her. And the fever left. And as soon as the fever left, I mean, immediately she began to minister to them. And so we find this same Jesus who said, let's go to the other side, is the same Jesus that cast out a demon or a devil, and is the same one who rebuked the fever, and the woman fever left. Look at something else. See, look at verse 40. The Bible says, and when the sun was setting, all that had been sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. We're talking about the same disciples that were there in the ship, the same disciples that went with Jesus to the other side. It's the same disciples that what they know of Jesus at this point was he cast out demons. He has power and authority over demons. He rebuked fever. He has power and authority over fever. And then next thing we know, many people, we don't know how many they were, but many people came, and many with diseases, and many that were sick, and he healed every one of them. He has power over sickness, power over demons, power over fever. The same Jesus that said, we're going to the other side. I'll tell you something else that they knew of him. They knew in chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7. It says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, for they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. They were fishing all night long, toiled all night long. They could not catch nothing. That's absolutely nothing. Evidently, two ships are out there, maybe more, and they had zero fishes. Next thing you know, Jesus got involved and he commanded with power and authority and said to every one of those fishes, you jump into the net. And I want you to come so fast and so many that I want you to almost sink this ship. This same Jesus that said we're going on the other side is the same Jesus that has command and authority over fishes. Oh, that ain't over yet. They know a little bit more. Look in chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I mean, during those days, leprosy, people ran off. You got leprosy, it's worse than COVID-19. I mean, they had leprosy camps. I mean, that leprosy, you know, everybody would run, everybody would fear, everybody would go wash their clothes, everybody would burn their clothes. I mean, if you get around somebody with leprosy, Fred, it's over for you. Nobody wanted to be around people with leprosy. Nobody wanted to talk to them. Nobody wanted to be family to them. Nobody wanted to love them. I mean, getting leprosy, being around leprosy, it was absolutely in that day a no-no. It was absolutely something you stayed away from. And yet Jesus took the very awful and ugliness of leprosy and he healed the man of leprosy. He's got power and authority over leprosy. Oh, well, there's more. Verse chapter 5, verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. He said that to those who have palsy, those who can't walk, those who are lame, those that are crippled, those that cannot function, he said, I've got power and authority, just get up from there. Then he said he had power over sins to forgive sins. Power to forgive sins. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus would have said, let's go on the other side, having some knowledge of these things, he would probably have been pretty sure we're going on the other side. I mean, if he has power over the fishes, he has power over leprosy, he has power over the devils, he has power to forgive sins, he has power over sickness, he has power over the lame of palsy, I would think tonight that whatever he says will probably happen. Wouldn't you think? Oh, that we're not done yet. Look at chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm just trying to let you know what they knew. And looking around about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. He has power over deformities. Whatever deformity you have, he has power to heal that deformity. He has power to do it all. Look at chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of disciples, and great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon and came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were all vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. He did it all. He could heal everything. There was nothing at all that he couldn't do. Look at there in chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, and he came and touched the briar, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He raised the dead. Power over death. He has power tonight above all. Chapter 7, verse 21. The Bible says, and at the same hour he cured many of their infirmities, their plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Listen, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus didn't have power over. I mean, tonight we could talk about any disease, we can talk about any sickness, we could talk about things that like fishes, we could talk about things like demons, we could think about forgiveness of sins. I mean, listen, he had the power over every single thing there was to have power over. There's no greater authority. There's no greater power. He is the mighty God. He is tonight the everlasting Father. Oh, tonight, he is the glorious Lord tonight. Friend, there is absolutely nothing that will overcome him. He'll never fail in nothing. He'll never come short at any time. He'll never lose a battle. He'll always come through. He is faithful unto the end. There's no place, nowhere, no time that my God loses. He even has power to save in chapter 7 and in verse 50. He says unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. He saves. So tonight I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you tonight in the faith tonight to know that this same Jesus who said that he's going to make a plan with your life is the same Jesus that has authority and power over every single thing. That ought to make you not have no worries at all. You think. And so tonight, that's just what they knew about Jesus. Jesus planned the trip. Tonight, he says to them, where is your faith? It's not, don't they know that they're going on the other side? Don't you know that? I mean, after already hearing about what you do know about Jesus and all that he did, there was nothing that could stop them. There was nothing at all tonight that could hinder them. There was nothing at all that would change the mind of Jesus. Jesus said, I have planned a trip, and that trip is going to be on a certain day in a ship. And we're going to go with the disciples, and we're going to go to the other side, and they launched out. Where in the world do we think or feel or have any kind of understanding who's going to stop that and who's going to hinder that? Who is going to bring an end to that when he has the authority, he has the power over everything that could possibly put a stoppage to that? So tonight, why do we not just say, Lord, I'm in your plan. I'm just going to go with you. Wherever you may lead me, wherever you may take me, whatever takes place, I'm just going to know that you're the authority and you're the power. Amen? The plan. He planned the trip. Number two, if he planned the trip, I promise you tonight, he prepared the trip. Now I want you to notice in this trip that he prepared. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 23. So we've already talked about 22, so let's go to 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. That was his plan. He didn't fall asleep tonight by accident. I mean, he didn't say, okay, fellas, we're going to go to the other side on this ship. And as soon as he gets on the ship, he's saying, boy, I wish I could make it to the other end with my disciples. And, well, I'm getting so sleepy, man. I can't hardly hold my eyes open. I'm telling you, I'm so tired. It's been a busy week. I've been healing. I've been casting out demons. I've been raising the dead. I've been out there catching fish for the guys. They can't catch fish. I catch fish for them. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm just wore out and I'm weary. And I'm gonna go to the other side. And you know what? Then all of a sudden he can't hold his eyes open and he just falls down like this asleep. No. There was a preparation in the trip. And his preparation was he's gonna sleep. He's just gonna go to sleep. And so we find in verse 23, and there came down a storm from wind of the lake. I want you to notice that there came down. There came down. Where did that storm come from? It came down. I wonder who's up there who would take a storm to come down. I wonder tonight, why would it be printed in such a way? Wouldn't it say there was a storm? Why did it say that there arose a storm? But why would they say, listen, there's a storm that came? No, he had to say on purpose tonight, in the way of preparation, he said, there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Come down. I wonder who's charged up there. The same one that's charged down here. That storm just didn't come that day, and they just have bad luck. I mean, of all days that the Lord said a certain day he's going to get in a ship and the disciples are going to go to the other side, and they launched off, and all of a sudden he just falls asleep not knowing the weather. I mean, listen, friend, he's the one who's in charge of the weather. And so we find that there's a storm that came down. Talking about preparation here. And he goes on and says, and they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. Number one, in this preparation to the trip, he fell asleep as if God wasn't watching. As if God wasn't waiting. As if he fell asleep and he said, okay, I don't know what's really going on. Jesus' eyes was closed. And so he didn't see what was going on. He didn't know that was happening. He didn't know the ship was in this kind of situation. As if he wasn't waiting. As if he wasn't tonight willing. He was asleep on purpose. On purpose. Number two, not only was to fall asleep was his preparation, but to send a storm. He sent a storm. He, Jesus, who's God, who created all things and everything for His purpose and for His joy and for His pleasure, He created the storm in the preparation of this trip. It was at the right time the storm came. It was at the right place that this storm came. And it was at the right ship that this storm came. And so we find a preparation to send a storm. Number three, the preparation of the trip was to fill the ship. The water wasn't coming in the ship because Jesus was asleep and he forgot to tell the weather people, don't rain so much or don't send the wind so strong or don't create the raging of the sea in such a way where it comes over the sides of the boat to get into the boat. I want it to storm, but not that bad. No, In the preparation of this trip, when he planned this trip, it was water, get inside this ship. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus could have gone down the Gulf of Mexico and he could have took a ship off the Gulf of Mexico and go and you get, I don't know, maybe a half a mile out and Jesus says, okay, bring down that storm. And when you come, I want you coming. I want you raging. Matter of fact, I want so much water inside this ship that looks like that we're in jeopardy. We're in great peril. We're in great danger. You say the Lord would prepare something like that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what he did in preparation. Hey, he allowed the danger. The word in jeopardy means in peril. Or it means dangerous. Now, let me ask you something on the trip that God has for your life. You know, God has a plan for everyone. You know that statement? That God has a journey for you. That God has a path for you to walk. And that God has a life for you to live. Can I say tonight, within that life, you're going to find some times of jeopardy? It's not a rose garden. We're not going to be skipping down the yellow brick rose, the little pathway. Listen, this week, some of y'all went through some things. This is part of your path. Some of y'all next week are going to go through some things. It's part of your journey. It's been from above. It's been prepared already. You can't stop it. You can't do anything about it. It's just going to come. And so He's planned a trip for you. God has a plan for every man, every disciple. But inside that plan, He's got some preparation for you as well. And sometimes it could get rocky. And sometimes it could look like it's dangerous. And sometimes it could get to the place where you really cry. And you really feel hurt. And sometimes it gets to the place where you really suffer some loss. And all I'm saying tonight is in this preparation, it is that he made preparation that the people that were in this ship would come into such a place in such a way that they would know that they're in a danger, that they know that they're in a peril, they know that they're in a situation where they really don't have any way of stopping it. They have no way of saying, okay, you know, that's enough, you know, enough buckets, right, to get in the ship. And you, as the waves are rolling into the ship, you have buckets getting them out of the ship. You know, you don't have enough buckets to do that. As the winds are raging and it's coming down, you're having some sort of towel or something holding back the wind. Stupid stuff, right? So we can't do anything about it. We're in this storm. We're in this valley. We're in this tribulation. We're in this trial. We're in this path. We're in this plan. And so, what will you do? That's the question. Where is your faith? Right? Right? I mean, we have a lot of options here. Most of them are bad. Most of them are wrong. Most of them don't demonstrate faith. Most of them at all don't explain your faithful life. So what happened? What can I say here thirdly? Jesus, now He prepared the trip and planned the trip, but Jesus protected the trip. He says in verse 24, He says, "And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." Now, just what we already know tonight by the way of preaching, do you really feel tonight that they were perishing? Did they feel like they were perishing? But do you really think they were going to perish? Y'all are smart. Why is it tonight in our path, in our journey, in our life, when things get rocky, when things get tough, when things get difficult, that we say to God, "I'm done"? Who asked you in my plan? Who involved you whenever you're done? It's my trip. It's my life that I planned for you. And I prepared it, and I'm going to protect it. But for you to just come up and say, "Lord, Lord, we're perishing. Lord, Lord, I can't take Him no more. Lord, Lord, I can't stand it no more. Lord, Lord, I tell you what, I can't handle it. I'm getting out of this. I'm moving on. I'm doing this. I'm doing that." Where in the world do you get that authority or even get that pleasure? It's His trip. You're cutting out on His trip? I mean, it's His path, His journey. He planned it. He prepared it. He's going to protect it. And before He protects it, you're running like you're crazy. Like you ain't got enough sense to come out of the rain. Like you ain't never You don't know that Jesus raises the dead. You don't know that Jesus heals the sick. You don't know that Jesus forgives sins. It's like you don't know that. Where is your faith? What happens to us? Sometimes we feel like we just get dumb. Amen, Brother Larry. That's sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes we say we lose our mind. We sometimes say, God, what is wrong? I know that you planned this. I know you prepared it. I know you'll protect me in it. Instead of me running to Jesus and saying, Master, Master, we perish. It's better to run to Jesus with quietness and with tears and with trust and lean up against Him and lay our head on His bosom and say, I'm just going to be where you are. Because I know where that's at. It's safe. Instead of running around like a chicken with our head cut off. Perishing! My old marriage is over. Oh, my life is done. Oh, I tell you, it's through. I'm done. A life will never be the same. I tell you, it's awful. It's horrible. I will not. I cannot. No longer. That's me, Brother Larry. Where? Is your faith. Where is it? And so, Jesus gets up and he, like he always does, he's just faithful. Even though we're not, even though we know what he's done, we know what he can do, we know he's all authority and all power, then we come to Jesus, and of course, Jesus. He protects the trip because he's faithful, and not because we are, not because we even look like we're faithful, not because we act like we're faithful. It's not because we even pretend to be faithful. We just lose it. But he's faithful. And in the midst of Jesus saying to them, what is wrong with you? You're waking me up. You're saying you're going to perish. I mean, listen. He just gets up. He says to the wind. He rebukes the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Now, do you see something here tonight? How the disciples were all panicky. They were all beside themselves. They were losing their mind. They were speaking out of their head. They were speaking things, we're going to perish, that really is not true. We're kind of being, a dramatic. You ever get like that? You ever do extra? You ever just go kind of way out of boundaries? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, things are going on in the lives and you call your friend, I'll tell you what, this is the worst ever. I mean, you call your counselor or your pastor or something and say, I'll tell you what, right here, there's no more I can do. I can do no more. You say things. You act the way that we act. And within minutes, Jesus said, hey, calm down. Hey, when? It was over. And you don't act like a fool. I mean, so we find the Lord tonight. I'm trying to help us, amen? To see us really as we are. So he was faithful. He took care. But he was powerful. He was powerful. We see he is powerful because he rebuked the wind. He's in charge. He ceased the storm. He's in charge. And he calmed the sea. So that just kind of gives him another list of things, right? I mean, before it was all this, and now he's controls the seas. I mean, it's just like adding to his resume. I mean, it's just making him more powerful and more authoritative. Now he gets into the sea, into the storm, into the water. And, oh man, what a mighty God. He calms the sea, he's in charge. So then he comes down to verse 25, and that's kind of where we want to be tonight. It's kind of like all just introduction. Where is your faith? He said, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? He's even in the ship going to the other side. And he's in your life going to the other side. Why do we get all beside ourselves when he's in the ship? I could see Jesus on the bank and you're in the ship and the ship has a raging winds and the storms are coming in and you're in jeopardy. I could see maybe that you might have a little bit of craziness, but not when he's in the ship. I mean, he's in your life. He's in the plan. He's in the very journey in which you're walking. He's in the path in which you're traveling. He's there. Where is your faith? So not only tonight does he say, going to the other side, where's your faith? But he's in the ship with them. Do you think tonight that you're really going to perish when Jesus is in the ship? Do you really think all those things that's in our mind and hearts as we think the worst all the time is really going to take place when Jesus is in it? By sinking of the ship that he's in? Do you really think the ship was going to sink that he's in? By the storm that I am, that he's in charge of? The very problem that you're facing today or tomorrow or next week, and he's the one who sent it to you? And who's allowed it to happen? Who's brought it in your life? Who said it was okay for this to take place because there's a plan in your life? How do you think you're going to sink if he's in charge of it? By not making it to the other side, because that's what he promised. Where's your faith? Can I say here fourthly tonight, Jesus' point in the trip. Their response revealed to Jesus that they had a displaced faith. Would you agree with me? Because if you read verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24, then when verse 25 comes, Jesus said unto them, where is your faith? In other words, their behaviors, their conduct, their words indicated to Jesus that there was a displaced faith. For he asked the question, where is your faith? So, if we find ourselves in a storm, if we find ourselves in a situation, if we find ourselves in a circumstance, we know tonight not how to act. Because Jesus said, where's your faith? So we can mark it down as Christians tonight in the way the teaching of God's Word of when we get in a storm, when we find ourselves in a battle, when we get ourselves into a dark place, when we get ourselves into a valley and things are going crazy and things are going haywire, this is how we don't act. We don't do that. We don't run to Jesus with panic. We're going to perish, we're going to perish. We don't do that. So you know what not to do. And so we find that this being said, if you were in this trip, just think about this tonight, and I'll be closing here soon. If you were in this trip with the disciples, let me ask you a question tonight. Think about it within yourself. Answer it. What would you have done? The answer tonight would be this. Nothing. Or I don't know. You'd have done nothing different than what the disciples would have done. Because we demonstrate that all the time. So we can't wax spiritual tonight and say, well, this night here, the last day of February, I have really grown in my spiritual walk. And if I was in that situation, I would have not ran to Jesus. I would not have woke him up. I would not have said anything. I would just let it pass because I have my faith. Baloney. Or you could say, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'd do. Tomorrow, if I face another problem, another difficulty, don't know what I'd do. Now, you know what you don't do. You know that tonight, what you don't do. But you don't know what you would do. Amen? And so we find the reason tonight is that we have been in situations similar to this, and we all have. And when we look back to those situations, we always would say, where was my faith? Is that true? When you look through those situations, those difficulties of life, and those hard times and hard difficulties, you look back and say, man, I sure didn't demonstrate my faith very well with that. Where was my faith? Man, how God got me through that. How can I not believe Him? Right? That's all of us tonight. We all look back and say, where's my faith? What is it tonight that if Jesus would ask you, where is your faith, what would you say? Look what they said in verse 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? He commandeth even the winds and water to obey him. You know what they did? They ignored his question. You notice that? They didn't answer it. And that's what we do. We go through troubles, we go through trials, we go through these things that He allows in our lives. And He asks us tonight, where's your faith in it? And we just ignore Him. Somehow we don't have to give an answer. How arrogant of us. How arrogant of them. They just changed the conversation. He said, where's your faith? Verse 25. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this that he commandeth even the winds and the water that obey him? He didn't ask them that. He didn't ask him about what manner of man he was and how powerful and authoritative he was over the wind, over the water, and how even they obeyed him. That wasn't the whole conversation. They changed it. And we do that often whenever we are in situations and problematic times and we go through them and at the end of it, Jesus is rebuking us because we didn't have faith. He says, where was your faith? Oh, Lord, you know, Trump was speaking today. Didn't ask you that. I want to tonight to say that they gave him no answer. I don't want to, and hope you don't either, that this week I might go through a trip that God has planned and prepared and also protected. And the point of that trip is to see what type of faith or where my faith is. I want to be able to answer him when he asked me. Don't you? Or do you want to ignore him? Change the conversation? Do you want to give another answer or no answer? Let me give you this tonight. We'll close. I want to be able to be in the position and to be in a place where I can answer the Lord. Whenever he has ordered in my life, whatever he has allowed to come through my path, whatever it is tonight that I have to go through in my journey, at the end of that journey, he's going to ask me, where's your faith? I want to be able to answer that. Let me give you four things. Number one, where's your faith? It is in Jesus' words. Verse 22, and it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship were his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched out. If they would have believed his words, if they would have kept his words, if they would have trusted his words, they would not have came to Jesus and woke him up and said, Master, Master, we perish. If they would have believed his words. And so where is your faith? Your faith must be in his words. Whatever he says, you have to trust. Whatever he gives us in his book, in his word, you must believe. Or you're going to be acting like they did, running around, acting as if you don't have faith. Number two, where is your faith? It is not only in Jesus' words, but in Jesus' will. Verse 24, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and there he filled the water and were in jeopardy. It to face hardships is Jesus' will. to feel pain, to experience trouble. If God allows that in your life tonight, that's His will. You've got to just put your faith in His will. You say, I got trouble, brother. God's allowed that trouble. You've got to put faith and trust in His words and put trust and faith in His will. God's allowed that tonight. Don't get bitter. Don't try to get out of it. Don't try to argue with God. Just come to a place and say, Lord, I'm just going to put my faith in Your will. If this is Your will for me, amen, God. I'm not going to be angry with it. I'm not going to be bitter about it. If this is Your will, so be it. So we find, thirdly, Jesus, where's your faith? In Jesus' words and Jesus' will, but in Jesus' way. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass as He awoke him, saying, Master, we perished. And He rose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. See, tonight, you've got to put your faith in Jesus' way. And that is, He will prevail. He will overcome. He will be victorious. And so if you just say, Lord, I'm going to put my faith in Your way, my way will be Your way, and I win. No matter what you feel like at the time. The words, the will, the way, and then lastly, where is your faith? It must be in Jesus' wisdom. In verse 25, He said unto them, where is your faith? Why would you doubt Jesus? Why would you doubt Him tonight? Lord, why are You allowing me to go through this? Why do You ask that question? Why? If you have faith. Why doubt Him? Why panic? Why fear? If you know tonight that what I'm going through and the planned trip that He's planned for my life and the journey that I'm on and the path I'm on is in His wisdom. It's His wisdom. Why doubt Him? Why would I fear? Why would I panic? Why would I do anything else? What manner of man is this? He said, they say, and they're right about that. And tonight, if we can ever just gather that whole statement, what manner of man is this? That He even commandeth the water and the wind, and they obey Him. Tonight, why can't we? Why can't we? Where is your faith? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, what I do, brother, Larry, I say that tonight we are to just address the Lord, Jesus, and say, Lord, Your will, Your word, Your way, and Your wisdom is where I need to place my faith in tonight. I'm sorry for not doing that. I'm sorry for acting as those disciples. But tonight, I don't want to act like that. I don't want to behave like that. I don't want others to see me be like that. I want to be able to put my faith in Your words, in Your will, in Your way, in Your wisdom. God, give me help and strength to do that. Anybody like that tonight? You can pray right where you are. You can come to the altar. You can come and give God all that you are tonight. Come. And let's just get with Him. And let's start afresh. God's always given us new beginnings and new fresh times. Let's just get these things cleared with God so that I, on this next planned trip, I can do what's right. I can be as He'd asked me to be. Anybody else would come tonight? Some have come. Would you come? You sing, Brother George. Lord, You planned my life out. Why do I get the way that I do? Help me, Lord, that I stay calm, that I stay resolved, that I'll just stay steady. Lord, no matter what I face, no matter what You allow, whatever You give privilege for, Lord, I'll just put my faith in You. and every word and all your will, your ways and your wisdom. I just want to please you, Lord. I know that I may face some difficult days, but I know you'll protect me in them because you said you would. I know you'll provide through them. I know it's for a purpose. There's a point in it. You're testing my faith. You're building my faith. You want me to be more faithful. And it's going to take times of trials and times of challenges for your faith to grow. But Jesus is in all control of that. You just lean on Him. You just trust Him tonight. You just give it over to Him. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. He'll sustain you. He'll get you along the way. You just do what's right. You just do what the Lord would do. You just follow Him. You'll come out. We never lose. We never lose. We always win. God is always glorious. I know it's been a tough time for me. Has it been easy? It's been challenging. It's been difficult. I know all of you tonight, you've been through some things as well. You'll come through. It's going to be okay. The Lord will see you through it. Where's your faith tonight? Where is it at? Where is it at? If it's in people, you're going to be falling. If it's in situations and things, you're going to be disappointed. If it's in Jesus, you'll be encouraged. Thank you, Lord, tonight. I needed the message. I needed it, oh Lord. I needed it so bad. God help tonight. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't even know how I'm feeling tonight. I just know tonight, God, that my heart is swelled up and with praise for you. And God, for glory and for honor. God, how you just show yourself to be mighty. Lord, that you always seem to be right there. And you never, ever, Lord, leave us nor forsake us. And God, we can count on you. Lord, but in the midst of all that we go through, Lord, we know it, that you're in charge of it. God, we just find ourselves so fragile and so weak. And we get angry with our own selves. God, we just find ourselves tonight, dear God, not doing and saying what we want to do and say, God, help us tonight. Give us the strength, oh God, to hold on. God, to look to you and to trust in you. God, not when things are good, not when things are happy. Oh, but God, when the storm has come and it looks like there's jeopardy, peril, danger, God, that we hold on to you tighter. God, that we run to you faster. God, that we'll not call out and say we're perishing, but God, we'll call out and say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm leaning on you tonight. God, give us that help tonight. Give us that strength. God, build us, make us, mold us. Mend us. Help us to be the church of the living God, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that we may walk with you, and God, we may walk with you with our heads up, knowing that you're coming back, and you're coming back for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.